You are listening to the Frillo Bros Tech Podcast, Episode 74, The Future of Cyborgs and Supercapacitors.
Sony made an announcement about the PlayStation 4. So this is the big question on everybody's mind leading into it. How is it going to look? Is it going to look cool? Is it going to look competitive? And we want to know, James, how does it look?
It looks amazing. In my mind.
Yes.
Which is the only place that I have seen it. Because I love The Verge's title. It's so awesome. Sony fails to show PlayStation 4 console at PlayStation 4 event. Just like, yeah. What? So Sony has this special event. I mean, like, you know, just for them. And I believe it was in New York, if I remember correctly. People, like, fly out to go see this. They get them all in an auditorium. And they never show them the console. Not once.
They show them the controller.
They show them the controller, yes. And they show them some of the graphics and some of the games, if I remember correctly, that will be supported. They talk about the streaming capabilities that we talked about, which is actually slightly different than what we had thought it was going to be.
What did they say? Cool. Give me a... Give, for the audience, like, give us a blow-by-blow.
So, yeah, thanks. So originally we thought you'd be able to stream games from the internet from Sony's servers, and you still might be able to, but what they talked about was you can have friends can either watch you remotely play, and, you know, so you could do that, or they can and if they wanted to, they could actually take over the game for you. So if I'm understanding it correctly, they are streaming their controls to a game that you're playing locally on your computer.
Well, that's kind of cool.
Yeah, that is cool. There are some other things that they talked about where it'll actually have like two separate processors, and, you know, so it could be downloading and doing updates with the one while you're playing or it's asleep, you know, and so you're not having to do like the whole, you know, wait for updates when you first turn it on. And so from a capability standpoint, it sounds very cool. They talked about their camera and how that's going to be awesomer and better and things like that. But they literally did not show what the console is going to look like, which there could be a couple reasons behind it. The first one is they just are literally not done with the final design yet, which you guys are getting close for that one. Because I believe they're talking about it coming out later this year.
Yeah.
And, you know, which to me is like, no, it needs to be done. But I think the more relevant reason, I guess, real reason, is that they know that E3 is coming up and they don't want people to be bored. And so they're keeping the surprise for E3. And for whatever reason, they felt like they couldn't pack it all into one event. So they're doing like, part one just happened, but they didn't tell everyone it was part one. And part two, the conclusion.
It's sort of like when you're watching E3. It's sort of when you're like when you're watching The Hobbit and Unexpected Journey, and they never show you what the dragon Smaug looks like the entire movie. Because they want you, you know, because when The Hobbit, The Desolation of Smaug, a sequel to The Hobbit, An Unexpected Journey, comes out. They want you to be excited about something for that first moment when you get to see the dragon. Like, oh my gosh, what does the dragon look like? It's crazy. And, you know, and so they just want there to be excitement still. And that would be my thought, because, yeah, it's sort of ludicrous, the idea that you'd be walking into E3. But, you know, one of the big questions here is, why didn't they wait till E3? I mean, like, you know, are they taking a page out of Apple's playbook? You know,
we're not really, because Apple doesn't say anything until they tell you everything.
Right, exactly. Yeah, until it's ready to launch. But it was an interesting strategy, the whole thing, like doing a pre-E3 announcement. This thing is so big that we have to announce it twice. I don't know.
Do they feel like there was some other thing, I don't know, you know, going on that they really felt the need to bring the conversation back to them? Even though they didn't have a full story to tell yet, they wanted, you know what I mean? I feel like you know, everyone was talking about, oh, we got a new Xbox coming, it's going to be amazing, and
Wii U like, just launched. I wonder.
Yeah.
And I have a feeling that part of it is actual excitement. I think part of it might be just enthusiasm. I think they believe they've actually got a very cool system on their hands. They've got something very exciting, and they kind of wanted to get out there and say it. And they didn't want the distraction of E3. I mean, that is the reason why Apple doesn't participate in CES is because they don't, or you know, forever is because Apple or you know Steve Jobs wanted the spotlight all on himself. He didn't want to have to share the media at all. And I have a feeling that Sony knew that they were going to have to go into E3 and they were going to make this announcement, and they couldn't. You know, it would have, there's a cacophony of noise, especially there'll be new Wii U games coming out. There'll be, you know, updates to the Xbox. Everybody will be making their big announcements. I think Sony wanted they wanted center stage for a little while. And I that's the feeling I get. And there's this little bit of a question of, I wonder, like, you know, man, it just seems... It seems crazy that they wouldn't actually show the system, but at the same time...
So I guess back in 2005, they had a slight embarrassment where they did show kind of some earlier mock-ups of the PS3, and then the real one turned out to be much bulkier and had a lot less features.
Yeah.
And, you know, so they're like, maybe they're looking to avoid that. I don't know.
That is true. I mean, that has been one of the drumbeats that have been going since the announcement, is the idea that, you know, Sony...
Which I'm still like, how do you not know what it is? I just don't.
Well, I think the box is, you know, somebody sits down, you know, we want it to look like this. We want it to have these dimensions. And then the engineers look at it and go, that's not going to happen. You know, and I don't know. I think Sony does have a history of overpromising and under-delivering, which, you know, it makes everybody really nervous, but I don't know. So this is an interesting conversation, but I do have a question about your thoughts on the actual system itself. Like, what, you know, given what's out there, like, one of the big things that they really, you know, it's like they have a share button now, and one of the big things that they obviously got into is the idea of being able to record video of you playing games, share that very quickly, streaming the game to your friends, being able to, you know, control everything. I don't know, what are your thoughts on the strategy for the system?
Well, let me think about this. You know, I know that they're definitely continuing down the track of we're going to improve graphics and speed and, you know, capabilities, right? They're very much headed down that track with this idea of, oh, there's this, what they call a depth camera, you know, component to it. And I feel like they're over their little handheld orb things.
Yeah. But they did show a demonstration of it and it looked dumb, but yeah.
Yeah, so for me it was like they're still very much headed down that path, and you know as well as I do, at the end of the day, it all comes down to content and how good are the games in terms of both gameplay and, you know, graphics are important, I suppose. You know, for me it's kind of like it would have been nice to, and maybe this just isn't appropriate, and we're totally biased because we are Apple fanboys, whereas like, what improvements have you made for developers? How have you made it easier for them to make games?
Yeah.
And you know what I mean? Given our conversation last week where it was talking about how theoretically Apple could come out and be like, hey, SDK for Apple TV. Guess what? You guys already know how to code everything too. That's amazing. And we figured out some magical way where you don't have to care about screen resolution.
Right.
You know what I mean? And just like, before you know it, you've got like 10,000 apps in the App Store.
Some magical way. James, nobody has ever cared about screen resolution until the iPhone. It's like the first time you've had like a standard. You just have to go back to normal programming.
Attitudes. Okay. Well, whatever. You know, whatever. Well, what I'm saying is that, well, these are developers who aren't used to dealing with
that's
that for
true,
iOS.
Yeah.
So that was my point.
Okay, good point.
But anyways, you know, it'd be cool to see Sony have done something like that where they go, yeah, you know what, this console's awesome. It's amazing. And we're going to play some flipping awesome games on it. If you want to get, you know, down into the depths of the code, you can. But guess what? We also made this SDK that is, you know, very accessible. Graphics and style will, you know, they'll have that same feel, but they're going to be super high quality, blah, blah, blah. You can make games, upload them to the store, stuff like that. And they just didn't really talk about it, but...
And it's one of the comments that...
I'm really not a gamer either, which makes it hard for me to judge how amazing it is.
Yeah. I definitely think... So this is an interesting... This is the question that, I'm asking myself. So what we talked about last week, and definitely this sort of like moving revolution of how gaming is done, what should be coming, and the PlayStation 4, like, they definitely made a big step in social gaming, and the idea of incorporating different social abilities, like that was a huge push on it. That was it seemed to me that was their big innovation, you know, outside of technological improvements to the system and how it performs. Because the whole idea was they really want, you know, it's got a share button on the controller so you can quickly share stuff. Which is, I think, is important, because I think that's one thing that we're definitely seeing with the, you know, that you, one of the things that goes on in mobile is games where you compete against other people and you share your experiences with other people are big. And not to mention, like, you know, they seem to make a really big deal about sharing your video game content. It's not about, like, it's not about chatting. It's not about hanging out with your friends. It's about getting that amazing headshot where you ricocheted the bullet off the seven walls and, you know, and took the dude out, and then being able to replay that for your friends. You know, and if you've never seen that Halo shot, it's incredible.
It is amazing.
And that's a big thing. Like I actually give them props for doing that. And a lot of gamers are like, that's super stupid. That doesn't have anything to do with playing video games. But you're like, that's honestly, like, there's a huge portion of the population that's a big part of it for them, is being able to share it with their friends and make videos. And I think if you make it easy enough to distribute, you'll get even more content, and you'll get these groups where people are doing it. I actually think that was a really good move on their part. On the flip side, everything else is very classical, you know, post PC era, which is I think that's just the PC era. Where you have one piece of where you have one, you know, piece of hardware that sits in your you know, you have one piece of hardware with no screen. It's got some sort of an interface, a specified interface. In this case, it's controllers and the computer. It's a keyboard. You plug it in the screen. You move it around. You can connect it to the internet. It's very cool, but it doesn't acknowledge some of the changes that have happened in the post-PC era, where, you know, what are definitions of the post-PC era? I mean, we got, you know, less powerful computers that are a little more omnipresent. They're cheaper. They're easier to put everywhere, and the PlayStation 4 doesn't really acknowledge that. Well, that's not really Sony style. I don't necessarily blame them for that, but there's other aspects of the post-PC era, as you know, as we call it. I feel lame using post-PC this much. Because it sounds like one of those like news sites that you really hate reading because they have like decent news, but they just use like the worst jargon ever. So I'm going to stop. But so this idea that, like,
it's called mobile era.
But what's weird about it is that it's not mobile. That's, you know, and I don't think it's supposed to be. You know, so ideally, if it's cheap, you know, it's like the Apple TV is not mobile. And yet I think it's clearly
the hockey puck. Come on, it's hard to get any more mobile than that.
Yeah, but it's not.
I know. It's plugged into a wall.
I was going to say, it's plugged into multiple things, very big things, usually. What's the big thing with the Apple TV? And this is everything we're saying about Apple is true of Android, and so I say that in the context of, you know, there are devices where you can sling your stuff to your TV from your Android phone. You can interact with your Android phone. You can use it as a remote. You can use it as a controller. You can play other people on the game while, you know, posting it to the TV, you know, and which eventually is where, you know, all this goes. But there's other things. It's like pricing. You know, they didn't change how you think about the pricing of the game, which is, you know, definitely something that looks like that's, that has a lot to do with the developers and how much money the developers make. They don't want that changed. But I think that they're really, really going to run into a problem in the next year or so where, you know, they're, where somebody else is going to swoop in and make a bunch of sales because they're going to decide to sell games for $10. You know, they're going to tell their developers, you're only going to be selling these games for $10 a game. And
well, and it's not only that. I also, you know, the way that I look at it as a non-gamer is what else are you bringing to the table? You know, and Microsoft clearly gets that, which has actually been, you know, their biggest criticism is they're forgetting about games. And, you know, and that's something that the Apple TV can bring as well is, yeah, we've got games, but we've got this other stuff as well. And it feels like, I'm sure, you know, Sony's got some of it, but it's, they're clearly about games.
Yeah.
And that's there. Hey, just out of curiosity, they probably didn't even talk about it. What kind of, it's the Xbox that I want to know if they have a Blu-ray player in it or not, because Sony will obviously have a Blu-ray player. I was remembering one of them had the wrong one, and
I'm sure the Xbox will have a Blu-ray. If it has a disc drive at all, you know, but...
That was the other thing, too, right? Isn't there, you're going to be able to download or stream backwards compatible games?
Yeah.
I was stunned about that, which they were like... Not all of them will work or something. Backwards compatibility, man, that is a sticky wicket for sure.
Yeah, it's a mess. It's difficult.
But at the same time, it's like, guys, did you really not think you were coming out with another console? You didn't. You know what I mean? It's like, if you know that you're going to come out with something new, why don't you set up the current one so that it's easier to, or I don't know, maybe that's
James,
like ridiculous.
I'm going to say, try to think about what you did 5 years ago in your life and try to imagine if you were to make a bunch of decisions 5 years ago, okay, and you want to make it forward compatible. So all the apps that you use, all the different ways you do life, you know, how you drive your car. And in 5 years, you're not going to have to change anything ever. Well, you know, sometimes stuff changes. And the thing is, you know what the real problem is?
Not for me. I'm saving for retirement. I know it's going to happen to the day.
You know what the real problem was? PlayStation 3 could play PlayStation 1 games. So you're talking about you're talking about architectures that were designed to be able to run all the way back to, like, you know, super old games. And they finally just were like, you know what, we're moving on. You know, some of these games are, you know, I don't know, it's got to happen eventually or occasionally. I don't hold that against them at all.
I understand.
I definitely do think one of the big problems is that, like, one of the you know, there's no change in distribution of how games go. And the idea of, you know, Microsoft clearly, like, I think their execution on the whole glass thing where, like, you know, any tablet can connect to your Microsoft has not been stellar. But in concept, I think that's the right direction. It's the sort of thing that Apple's is doing. It's the sort of thing that Android is doing. And it's the sort of thing that what's going on? Anything cool?
You cannot hear it, but that dog is outside barking right now.
Oh, that's... Yeah, okay. I can't hear it, so I don't care.
We're those neighbors.
Yep. I just feel like there are a lot of things that are going on in the industry right now that Sony decided weren't a very big deal, and I feel like that's really going to come in and mess with them in the next 2 years. I think the expectation on Sony is that they compete again. You know, when Nintendo doesn't integrate these technologies, I feel like people are a little more forgiving, but not really. It's not like the system's selling good crazy. You know, the system's not selling. That's the problem.
They're not forgiving.
Yeah.
We just all feel bad because it's Nintendo.
Right, exactly. Whereas the PlayStation, it's like there's a real expectation, and it's, you start to beat the drumbeat of, you know, hey guys, the heck's the deal here? Why don't you? You know, why aren't
you?
Well,
that was because of the way they positioned themselves, right? And Nintendo was like, we're going to make awesome, fun games, and it just so happens we'll make the hardware to play those games. I mean, like it or not, they're a software company that happens to do hardware.
Yeah.
Whereas Sony really positioned themselves as saying, no, we are going to be a premier hardware company, and we're going to push the bounds of technology and what these things can do. And their big problem is that Microsoft came along and said, they played the same game that Sony did. And so, you know, Sony to Nintendo, you go, man, Sony's doing some amazing things. And then, you know, but Sony to Microsoft, you're like, yeah, Microsoft can do it too. And now all of a sudden you got this other guy coming in, right? This Apple player where we're all like, ooh, this could be interesting if they all start to compete against each other, because Apple's clearly doing a different strategy. If anything, Apple's the guy who's going to make Nintendo obsolete, because they're going to do what Nintendo's doing.
Well, I think as far, you know, I think Apple is definitely like a Apple is definitely a big threat to Nintendo, but I still think Android's a giant threat to Nintendo and to these other players, because the example I gave was that game stick thing. Like, there, the advent of the $100 gaming system is on the cusp, and the idea of powerful, you know, cool games that can run on these like super cheap systems is about here, and it's the sort of thing that will get me in the game, literally, and not literally. I won't actually be inside the game. I meant that, no pun intended. But I feel like, I don't know, you know, and there's something to be said about being the like you said, the premier, the top, the luxury item, the very best in the hardware. I think they sell systems for that reason. I mean, they sell Macs. You know, I'm not saying that cost is the only thing that you can drive on, but, you know, I think what you're going to do, I feel like when you are the best and you are the top of the line, you have to do, I don't know. Maybe this is completely a dumb position. Maybe what they're doing is perfect because it's what Apple does. The biggest difference between PlayStation and Apple, though, is that Apple makes a killer profit whether they sell one computer or a million. They only need to sell like half as many computers as they are in order to justify the department. Whereas Sony has notoriously sold the systems for less than they cost to manufacture. You know, Sony doesn't have the luxury of being able to, well, we don't really care how many systems we sell because we're still going to make a ton of money. They really need to, you know, sell market share. And I don't know. It's interesting. I'm looking forward to see it because they're clearly sticking with a decent, you know, they're sticking with a strategy that's worked for a long time. And I feel like the industry's changing, and it's going to be rough on them if they're not careful. But
yeah, and we will know more come E3.